Amen. Well, thank you guys. That was great worship and good morning. It's great to see you guys again. Hope you guys are having an awesome weekend. And I'm thankful I get to be with you a second weekend. If you weren't here last weekend, my name's Justin. I'm one of the pastors here. I oversee our youth ministries and some of our radio and video stuff. And if I haven't met you before, I'd love to meet you afterwards and say hi. Pastor Dave just returned from vacation, and so he's resting up today, enjoying church. And we'll be back in here next Sunday. And so if you want to read ahead, 1 Samuel 29, as we jump back into the book of Samuel, it's going to be a great message. So I look forward to that. But I kind of wanted to pick up with where we ended last weekend. We were talking about, if you weren't here or if you fell asleep, let me give you a recap. We were talking about doing good works from Matthew chapter 5. We jumped into the Sermon on the Mount and looked at Jesus is perhaps one of his most famous teachings, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, called the Sermon on the Mount. We picked out one topic, and we were looking at Jesus' statement where he said, "You are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world," where he essentially kind of gets to our purpose here as Christians, as his followers, as his disciples, our purpose as we follow him to bring light, to bring seasoning, to bring the goodness of God to kind of a dark and hurting world. He, in verse 16, told us to let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? And we kind of took a long look at that and talked about our calling to bring light into this world. Or kind of the summary that I said is, you're to be the vacation that this world so desperately needs, right? And to kind of look at that. So this weekend, I want to follow this thought. He talks more about our works in chapter 6, and it's kind of ironic because in chapter 5, he says, look, you're to be the light of the world. You're to shine before men. And he kind of says something kind of opposite of that in chapter 6. And so it's important for us to look at that because it brings balance to the idea of doing good for others and being a light. And in this verse and in these verses we're going to look at today, he kind of gets at some of the rewards for us as people who do good. And so flip with me to Matthew chapter 6 if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6 is, we're only going to look at a few verses today. This chapter, if you kind of want to know how it goes, it breaks itself into kind of three sections. And Jesus repeats kind of the same idea or mentality three different times, giving three different examples. And the first verse, chapter 6, verse 1, kind of serves as a summary for the rest of the chapter. And so we'll read verse 1 and we'll jump into one of the sections. I'm not going to do the whole chapter today, but if you get this, you kind of get what he's going to be saying throughout the chapter. In verse 1, Jesus says this of chapter 6, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." So I kind of want to pause that and slow it down and think through that. He says, take heed, or be careful. Make sure you're paying attention to this. This is important. Don't just let this go by. Take heed that you do not your charitable deeds. Right? Charitable deeds, in their time when they heard this word, it was your alms or your acts of mercy, the way you reached out and helped out others who needed help. And he goes, look, I want you to slow down. Don't do your charitable deeds before men. Now, when I hear that, it's kind of funny because last weekend he said, let your light so shine before men that they would see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. And this weekend, Jesus has gone almost the opposite way in the same message that he's been teaching all along to his disciples listening to this, where he says, look, hey, be careful that you don't do your charitable deeds before men. And so, I kind of wanted to find the balance to this, because it's, what is it, Jesus? Do you want us to do things before people? Do you not want us to do things? I mean, are we open? Are we hidden about this? If I was created, and if you think about that, if you were created to be salt and light on this earth, and your purpose is to bring that into the lives of others, well, obviously that's going to be something done out in the open. Obviously people are going to see that. So why is Jesus now telling us not to do our charitable deeds, which are obviously good works, before other people? And it can be kind of confusing. And this is kind of This is one of the things that I appreciate about Jesus. I really appreciate this because the truth can often, it brings balance to our lives, but it can often be confusing. You know, we so often want simple one-statement answers that solve our life's problems, and the truth doesn't always work like that. It brings balance. It hits us on a deeper level. It makes us wrestle with it. And this is how Jesus taught. He was always giving us things and teaching us in ways that we walk away kind of questioning and working through things. And this is one of those instances where now Jesus is going to kind of take an opposite view that he had before. But when you think about it and you think it through, you're going to find that it actually brings balance to the way that we give. And Jesus points out, look, I want you to slow down because there's a problem here. There's something that we should be worried about. There's something that has the ability to steer us all off course. It's something that we see repeated time and time again in chapter 6. And we get a glimpse of it in that first verse when he says, do not your works, your charitable deeds before men. And he says, to be seen by them. That's a great statement there, because they would have heard this word, to be seen, and it's a word that means we get our word theatrical from it. It's this idea of like, hey, it's not just that people see your stuff, it's, you know, that you're kind of being theatrical about it. Like an actor, you want everyone to kind of see and notice what you're doing. You're kind of doing it for the applause or the recognition, the value that other people give you based on what you're doing. Not because you're just simply doing it to do a good deed towards someone else. And the point that Jesus is beginning to make here is that, look, my problem is not in the things that you're doing. We often kind of think God gets all caught up in whether we get our giving just right, and whether we give to just the perfect ministry, or whether we spend our time just right on this thing and we're reaching out to that person. Is it right? God goes, look, you never see him criticize the things that we give or do for others. The thing he's criticizing here and the point he's kind of making is, look, I'm not upset in the way that you made someone else's day better, or the way that you reach out to someone. Look, the problem, the dilemma, it's not a problem with what's done, but there's a problem within you when you did it. There's something that you need to be careful about. There's something about our flesh, our fallen nature, if you would. It takes a right behavior. We like to be appreciated. It doesn't feel good to be ignored. None of us want to be undervalued or unappreciated, right? We all love that feeling of not feeling unimportant, right? I mean, it's a horrible feeling when people don't think well of you. I mean, we all know this. I realized this recently as a dad. As I was studying for this, I looked over in my office and I saw, I'll show you them here. You won't be able to read them, but I'll read some of them to you. These are from when my kids were in preschool. And they wrote these all about my daddy cards. And I hang these in my office. You know, here's a picture of my daughter with one of these cards. I hang these in my office because I love to look over at them. And it reminds me of like the golden age of parenting, right? Where your kids had somewhat unrealistic views of you. And they still believed you were amazing and perfect. And, you know, and then they get older and that's out the window. Like my son... You know, my daddy is, he weighs 50 pounds, you know, it's great, it was a good year. My favorite thing to do with my daddy is play race cars. My daddy is as strong as a gorilla. I don't know what he was doing that week, but gorillas were on his mind. My daddy is 22 years old, it's not true. He weighs 10 pounds, like Tiny Tim that year for Christmas, but... I love to play race cars with my daddy. My daddy is as strong and as fast as a lion. You know, and I read those, you know, and I love this card. It's her in preschool, and it says, my daddy is my superhero because he carries me when I don't fall. And you remember being kids, writing those for your parents, and how your parents were your heroes. And, you know, I love that period of time, but it's quickly passing, I'm realizing. Just the other week, my daughter had a friend over, and... You know, she's showing her, my daughter's now 8, so she's fully grown and ready to live on her own. But she has her friend over, and she's showing her off the house, and she's like, hey, look, here's my bedroom, here's all my toys, and she's doing the introduction to everything. She goes, here's my brother, and look at all his awards, he's so good at soccer, and this, that, and the other, and baseball. And then she comes into the living room where I am, and so I'm like, oh, here it comes. You know, and first she goes to the dog, of course. And I'm standing there expecting to be introduced, but no, she goes to the dog, and here's our dog. We have this little chihuahua named Posh, and she's like, this is Posh Posh, and she's the greatest dog. She can't do any tricks, but, like, you know, she eats treats, and she's just bragging about our dog, and I go, oh, man, it's going to be good when she gets to me. You know, here it comes, and she looks at me, and she comes with her friend over to me, and she looks at me, and she looks over, and I'm standing there, and she goes, and this is my dad. And that's his seat on the couch. And then she just walks off. And that was it. Like, I was like, really? Like, that's all I am now. And I laugh because I look back at these cards and I'm like, man, what happened? You know? She doesn't remember that I'm the one who, you know, like, taught you how to read or, teach you how to walk. How about, this is my dad. I have food on the table because of him. Like, no, none of that, right? And I kind of bring that up because, I mean, in some simple way, it kind of underlies the fact that it doesn't feel to be underappreciated. It doesn't feel good when people look at you and they don't recognize things. Now this is, I know she's 8, and so my troubles are just beginning, you know. I know the teenage years are ahead where she's going to think she knows everything. But, you know, it goes like this in the world, right? When you're working and people don't value what you're doing, when you give a gift and people don't think anything of it, and they just kind of brush it off. When you spend all this extra time and energy on people, and they seem to just kind of brush it aside. All the labor, all the work you do, all the time you put in, it doesn't feel good, right? And you begin to think, hey, look, I deserve that. It feels good to be valued. It feels good to be recognized. And Jesus goes, look, I understand that. I understand that we all have that need. But man, when that need sneaks into your relationship with God, not to feel valued and needed by God, but to feel appreciated and valued by other people for what you do with God, he goes, we have a real problem. We have a problem when what you should be doing for me as a response to me in your relationship with me towards others is instead all tangled up in how others recognize you. How others value you, how others appreciate you. He says, look, be careful. Slow down. Don't let this creep in. I kind of mentioned earlier that this is a three-part chapter, three sections in this chapter. Right in the middle is the Lord's Prayer. But the three sections that he kind of goes into, we're just going to look at the first one. It's in verses 2-4 here. And it'll kind of serve as a good sample, and you can understand what he's saying in the rest of the sections if you get this. And in verses 2-4, look at what he says. He says, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So Jesus jumps into an example here, and he goes, look, this is something that in their day they would do. It's supposed to be a part of their relationship with God. It was charitable giving, giving out to others, helping others in need. And he goes, you know the religious leaders and his audience. In the Sermon on the Mount, his audience is the disciples. As he sat down on that mount and he began to teach his disciples. So his followers, his disciples would have known this. They would have seen this in the cities in Jerusalem. They would have seen the religious leaders of their day go out and they would blow the trumpet. They would get their bags of money they had stored up, their giving boxes, and they would blow the trumpet out in the streets. Now, it probably didn't start as some, you know, award show type of trumpet sounding. It was just probably a trumpet that originally sounded to let people who were less fortunate know, hey, there's help available. Follow the trumpet and there's someone who will help you out. But what it had sadly kind of developed into is this kind of an award show where Pharisees were recognized, where they were undoubtedly thanked and complimented, and everyone kind of clung to them and hung around them and valued them and appreciated them for their giving. As their trumpet went out, these religious leaders would say, oh, that's a good sound. Here it comes. Here comes the people. Because they love to be recognized. They wanted to be seen for what they do. And when they prayed, Jesus would later go on to say this. He goes, look, you have to understand that these are the type of people that love to be recognized for everything they were doing. When they prayed, and this is his next example, when they prayed, they used big flowery language in front of people so that everyone would hear them and go, oh man, they're so spiritual. thinking they would impress God with what they said. When they fasted, they would go out onto the street corners and have these long, sad faces, and everyone would know, oh, that guy's fasting. He's so spiritual. Look at how miserable he looks. You know, and that was this recognition that these guys wanted. And I know it sounds kind of extreme when you hear this. They're blowing trumpets and people are charging in. It sounds kind of extreme, like, wow, what a weird culture they lived in. But I don't know. I began to think about our culture, began to think about the things we do, and man, I think we're almost even crazier than these guys were. I mean, we live in a world based on recognition, right? I mean, the internet, it's been a great tool for everyone. But man, with it has brought this entire culture of recognition, an entire social media where everything you do, everything you say, everything, you know, from the youngest kids all the way up is being recorded, is being recognized, is put out there so other people can see, right? You didn't go on vacation unless you post about it. You didn't eat a great meal unless everyone else saw it, right? You hear that one news story that you think no one else has the ability to look up or read for themselves, so now you've got to share it with 600 of your closest friends so they know what you know, right? You had a bad meal? Leave a review, right? I mean, and I'm not knocking this. I'm just, if you love posting, you love doing that, that's not my point here. I'm just saying that's the culture we live in. This is what kids are growing up in. Everything is seen and recognized. Everything is awarded. Everything is just, you know, we highlight every little thing in our lives because we have this secret desire that we're always wanting to kind of be, feel good, to have someone recognize us. I mean, it gets so out of control in certain areas of our lives. I was just looking at the entertainment industry and I saw this article that there are 64 upcoming award shows in the next 8 months in the entertainment industry. That's wild. Nobody even watches these things anymore, yet they've got 64 of them coming up. It's like, it's just all these stars patting each other on the back at the Golden Globes and the Grammys and the Oscars and the Emmys. I mean, it's even gotten to the point where now we have two award shows set aside for hair and makeup stylists. And I have no problem with that, but like another two award shows set aside for publicists. And on and on and on, we have fast food award shows called the Fasties, where you can find out which of the worst is your favorite fast food. You know, which thing's killing you the quickest? Here it is. And you go on throughout all culture and society. I mean, the Guinness Book of World Records used to be something really fun to look at, but now it's just, I mean, they award the most mundane, ridiculous things. I read one thing that a girl got an award for putting 43 snails on her face. She set the Guinness Book of World Records. And it's like, what in the world are we looking at? I know I have a bunch more I could tell you. If you were in the high school, I'd let you know. I have like 50 more crazy examples. But I mean, here's my point. My point is not to have an old man rant on, you know, society these days. If you love award shows, awesome, enjoy them. But that's the culture we live in, right? And these guys weren't too different from us. They recognized everything. They wanted to be appreciated and valued just like us. And it begins to slip into every area of our lives. I mean, I just recently read a report that 82% of people considering leaving their jobs are doing so because they don't feel recognized. Right? Because that's the core. I mean, that's a core part of each and every one of us. We want to feel valued. We want to feel recognized. And Jesus says, look. I know that's the culture you live in. It's the same culture that they were experiencing in their day, but understand this, you're missing something if you think that other people are going to give you the recognition, the value that you really desire. It can't come from them. We live in that type of society, but slow down. Don't let it creep into all that you do because, man, there's something more here. You're missing the real point. Look, if you think that getting that recognition for yourself, if people valuing you and appreciating you is going to make your life better, is somehow going to make God shine brighter in your life, you're wrong. If you think that everyone knowing who you are or knowing what you do is going to somehow make you a happier person, because it's not going to work that way. Because ultimately, if that's your focus, you've missed it. You've missed the big point because you've missed Jesus. I mean, this is what's so amazing about Jesus. If you ever read the Gospels, I would encourage you to do so if you haven't, but if you ever read the life of Jesus, isn't it amazing that time after time after time, Jesus takes what people wanted to attribute to him, how people wanted to brag about him, how people, and he says, shh, be quiet. This was the Savior come to save the world, and he goes, shh, because he knew something. He knew the Lord would take care of that. He knew the Father would be glorified. Over in Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus heals two blind guys, right? Imagine you and your buddy being healed by Jesus, how excited you'd be with your friend as you can now see. He looks at him and he says, look, don't tell anyone. Shh. Mark chapter 1, a leper who all his life had lived and was ostracized and had this horrible condition. People looked down on him. Jesus heals him, touches him, cleanses him. And he looks and he says, shh, don't tell anyone. Go to the priests, make your sacrifice, and live your life. Now, none of these people listened to Jesus, but the point was, is Jesus was always saying, hey, look, don't tell anyone. At one point in John chapter 6, the entire crowd gathered together and they're like, we want to make Jesus king. And they were kind of, and Jesus knew that they wanted to make him king, right? Here he is, the Savior of the world, could have been made king, could have gotten his message out there, could have made everyone, he let everyone know what he was doing and had a giant platform. But what does he do? He sneaks away from the crowd, goes by himself to a mountain and spends time with the Father. See, if you understand how Jesus operated, you understood he didn't have this need to have everyone recognize, everyone value, everyone brag about what he did. Yet somehow the Father was always glorified. You see, Jesus knew something that I think we often kind of overlook, and this is where our faith comes into this, is that other people, yes, they might see what you do, but at the same time, more than them, God sees what you do. The Father knows what you do. He sees everything. He knows why you're doing things. He says, do your charitable deeds in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God would say, look, I know you live in a world of recognition. I know you might not want to feel unnoticed. I know that you made a big sacrifice, or other people aren't responding how you think they would to what you've done for them. But I see. And I know that I've got you covered. There's something incredibly reassuring when we begin to understand this. There's something that happens in us and in our faith when we begin to trust God in this area. And the scriptures are incredibly clear about this. Look, God sees it all. I mean, David, who we're studying on Sunday, said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I go into hell, behold, you're there. God's presence is everywhere. He sees everything, and he knows our motives. Proverbs say that the Lord weighs the hearts. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what you intended. He knows what you meant to do when you're reaching out to someone else, when you're trying to help someone else. And the point that Jesus is making is, look, if you understand that and if you can trust that, it changes the why behind what you do. It changes what you look for when you give. The good works, the charitable things you do, the way that we're relating to God and responding in obedience to what God has done for us and reaching out to others. God says, I see what others don't. And I'm proud of you. And I'm looking out for you. And it doesn't go by unnoticed. And when we can learn to begin to trust that, it changes how we approach reaching out to others and the ways that we look to bless their lives, right? So much that he kind of continues on in verse 3 and he says, when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Look, this is an important aspect of giving when you understand that God's watching. He goes, you don't need to balance everything out. You don't need to be the one that records everything. That you don't need to be constantly worried about how much time you give or what you give in your life. He goes, you don't need to hold back when I put something on your heart and you're going, ooh, what are they going to say? What are they going to think about me? I don't know if we can afford that. I don't want to take that risk. He goes, you don't need to do that. You don't always need to make sure everything is tax deductible. You don't need to be the one that always makes sure everyone you give to values and appreciates everything you do the right way. You don't need to be the guy that drives down the street and looks at every homeless guy and thinks, I wonder if that's a scam. The Lord knows. Now, he's not calling us to be irresponsible. He's not saying, hey, when that kid shows up at your door, you know, asking for magazine subscriptions, you just write over the deed to your house. He's not saying, like, look, don't you know, take what I've given you and just be irresponsible with it. No, we're called to be good stewards. But what he's saying more than that is, look, you shouldn't be focusing on those things. You can't control the end product of your giving, of your charitable deeds, of all that you spend, all the time and ways you reach out to others. And if that's your focus, you're going to get incredibly burned out pretty quick. Your focus should be on the Lord. Do your best to make smart decisions with how you give, but at the end of the day, the real question is, are you really doing this for the Lord? And if your focus is on Him, it begins to free you up to enjoy the things that you give to, the enjoy the ways that you bless the lives of others, right? When you're trusting Him, it frees you from the responses of others. Because people aren't always good at interpreting the things you do for them as good. I mean, how many times have you given a gift or helped someone out, you know, and they've looked at it and they've just been like, oh man, I didn't need that. I mean, just the other week, or last weekend, after one of my messages, a guy came up to me, he goes, hey, Justin, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, doing good for others, and you mentioned there, like, maybe going and mowing your neighbor's lawn. He goes, because I did that. I go, oh, cool, how did it turn out? And he goes, it was horrible. He goes, the guy's lawn was all over, you know, it was growing over, I decided, hey, I'm going to go over and just bless him and mow his lawn. And he came out to me and he said, don't touch my lawn. I want it that way. Or he was all angry that he had gone over and touched his property and done, you know, and I laughed and thought of this because I'm like, we're getting to that next week. But, you know, you can't affect how people respond to the things you do for them. And it was funny because he said, you know, so eventually it grew over, got overgrown again. It looked so bad. So I went over and I snuck over and I did it one more time. He got mad, but after that time, he went and got artificial grass. And so, you know, the Lord took care of that problem. And it's kind of like, you don't know how things are going to turn out. You don't know how things are going to end up. I mean, I remember a few years ago, I took some of our high schoolers. We were going down to the Friendship Shelter down in Laguna Beach. And it's a great place to go and to make meals for residents who are in there, who are homeless people, getting back on their feet. And our church supports them a lot and does a lot of cool stuff. As a matter of fact, Nate today is making meals for the Friendship Shelter, so that's awesome. But at this time, we were scheduled, and I brought about 20 high schoolers down to the kitchen there, and we were going to cook them a meal, and hang out with all the residents and talk with them. And we show up, but there's another group there, another charity organization, cooking a meal. And they were not letting us, you know, in the kitchen at all. And so we were like, okay, we're going to leave all the food with you, and you guys can donate it to the kitchen or make a second meal. And I thought, oh man, now I've got like 3 or 4 hours till these kids' parents come pick them up. What am I going to do? And so me and the leaders, we got together and we went to Taco Bell. And we bought, you know, fast food award winner Taco Bell. We went and bought tons of Taco Bell, and we were just going to go to downtown Main Beach in Laguna and hand out meals to all the homeless residents there. And we thought, you know, they're going to love this, Taco Bell. It's amazing, right? But we got there, and it's hard to find because they kind of clear people off the streets at night, and so you have to really look. And so we found some people in bushes and hiding, and you know, I'm like walking the kids up to these homeless people, and to a T, every single one of them, when we went up and offered them a meal, got angry. I don't know if it was because it was Taco Bell or what, but like, you know, they got furious at us and they began to yell at us. One lady was like cussing at us and calling us bad Christians because we, you know, we're so prideful to presume they're homeless when they're in the bushes living there. Like, and or one kid came up to me, he's like, when did homeless people become so picky? And I'm like, I don't know, you know, but Laguna Beach must be good to them, you know? Like, and so, you know, eventually. We thought they were more homeless people, but it was just college kids because they dress like homeless people. But and so we gave it to them, and they were totally stoked. But like, you know, it was a lesson for us and the kids that like, look, hey, the Lord sees what we wanted to do here, and He knows your heart, and you can't control sometimes how people receive what you do for them. And if we only did this because everyone who received this was going to be happy about it and thankful for it, and you know, be super kind to us, kind of like these Pharisees, you know, receive us and give us our reward there, then, man, we're missing the point. And that's what Jesus is saying here is look, it's great that you're doing things, but don't miss the main point. Don't look for your reward from other people. They're not good at interpreting what you do. They're not going to understand always why you reach out, and they're not going to value you the way I value you. And so as he gets here, he kind of says, he kind of comes to this final conclusion here. He says in the final verse that when we do good for others, when we're reaching out to help others, he says, do it that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Right? He goes, look, keep it down. Don't make a fuss. Right? Don't mention it. It's no big deal. And God will cause the right people to notice, not you. You don't need it posted. You don't need everyone valuing what you do. If you're doing it for the Lord, if you're serving the Lord and you're reaching out to others, man, it's just an act of don't mention it to others. Because God's got the reward for you. I love that word for reward there. It just simply means to pay you back, to deliver back something to you. What he's saying is, he's not saying like, look, if you donate to this ministry like you maybe have seen on TV, God will take care of your life. He'll drive a Rolls Royce or get a boat or a yacht or whatever. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying God's going to reward you with some giant thing. What he's really saying is, look, God sees all the time that you put in. God sees all the work that you put in, all the charity in your heart. And he goes, he's got you. He's got you covered. You don't need to worry about others valuing that and appreciating that and receiving that in the right way. He knows. Once you really understand giving this way, once you understand how good God is, when your faith and trust is that he sees and not others, you almost don't want the return thank you. Now, what he's not saying, and by the way, I just want to clarify this, he's not saying we shouldn't be appreciative people as Christians. He's not saying that you should never compliment someone or tell someone nice things. That's not what he's saying at all. But what he's saying is you shouldn't do it for that. But when you get this, and when you understand when you're giving to others, and when you're being charitable like this, and when you're giving like this, you don't even need that thank you. You don't need people to treat you a certain way. You don't need to be valued more than other people because you donate more, you tithe more. You don't need a special parking spot. You don't want that kind of stuff because you go, no, the Lord has this. He's way better at rewarding me than people are. And if those are the things I'm always looking for, then I'm always going to be poor in God's sight. God's got it. And just aside from how God will pay you back, I mean, the reward for giving this way is a pretty great reward. It changes and begins to give you joy. I mean, you find when you begin to give like this and in every area of your life, and you're just saying, you know what, I just want to give because God's blessed me so much. I want to give and I want to make other people happy. And my focus is on God. My reward isn't how they respond to how I give. Man, it changes how you give to others. Right? We've all been there, right? And I've got, my kids are growing now, and one of the most torturous things over the years has been to watch people who fret, grandparents or you know, uncles or aunts who fret over what to get our kids as a gift. And so they think and they come up with something. And they go, oh, are they going to love this? And I go, yeah, they're going to love your gift. And they, you know, they bring their gift and they watch my kids open the gift. And my kids are like, okay, cool. And they throw that aside and they go to the next gift. And like, you know, and I just see it. And you've probably felt this before where you've thought so hard and you've gone so far for someone else's gift. And you see their face and it's like, oh, they didn't care at all. Now, what the Lord is not saying is that we shouldn't care about what we give to others. You know, just re-gift a gift card to, you know, Red Lobster or something that nobody goes to, and there you go, be happy. He's not saying put no value into what you give to others. He's saying no, value it, but in their response to it, you're freed up from being tied to how they treat you. You're freed up from being disappointed or jealous or worried about how others treat you. You know, when the kid throws off your gift and you see they don't value it, you know, you're happy enough to call them aside and say, hey, look, no matter what you get from anyone else, just let me know and I'll get you something better. You know, I'll return this and we'll get you what you didn't get that you want. You see, you begin to, instead of making it all about you and how you feel, you begin to enjoy giving for the very act of just responding to God. God knows. And God will reward you for your heart. But also, you're not a hypocrite. He uses that word of these people. He goes, look, they were hypocrites in their relationship with God. They acted, and the word hypocrite, we're used to using it. It was a Greek actor word. He's kind of using acting words in this passage. It was a Greek acting word You know, for someone who would go on stage and they would play multiple roles, so they would put on one mask over here and they'd be one character, and then they'd put on another mask over here and they'd be another character, and they'd often play multiple characters. And he goes, look, that's what these religious leaders were. They were acting super spiritual over here, and like they had it all together, and ooh, I'm so benevolent and I'm so giving to you because I love God and God's so good. But then over here they're saying, oh, you know, applause, please. Value me, please. Appreciate what I do, please. Respect me for this. He goes, you're living two different lives. You've got two different value systems going on. And it's not going to work out over here. I want my people to be people of integrity. People who are in, to be integrity, it means to be the whole. You're not split. You're not divided. You're not doing things over here and doing your spiritual things to God and posting all your, you know, having everyone else see all your devotionals and all your prayers and everything God speaks to you. You got to tell everyone over here so that they hear and they know what God is saying. And they, right? You're not this person who's split all over the place. He goes, I want you guys to be people with character and integrity. So do your good unto me. And know that I've got you covered. When you learn to give like that, you find joy. It makes you happy. I mean, Paul said it to the church in Corinth over in 2 Corinthians 9. We're all familiar with this passage, but he's talking about giving. They were collecting an offering for other churches that were in need. He's going, look, 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 if you want to give, he says, each one of you, give as you purpose in your heart, not begrudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because when you guys do things for others, when you're giving, when you're reaching out, because I don't want you to feel guilted. I don't want you to feel pressured. I don't want you to feel like, oh, I got to do this so everyone values me. I don't want to do this because all the pressure is on me. He goes, God values you being happy about it. And it only comes in response to our relationship with him, their focus on him. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says that, but I love verse 8. A lot of people skip this. In verse 8, he says this in 2 Corinthians 9, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. He goes, if you understand this, you're happy and you're in this relationship with God and your focus is on him, he goes, understand that God will make everything abound towards you. You'll always have all that you need to take care of others and to bless them and to do the good that he wants you to do. He makes grace abound towards you. He's going to take care of you. He's got you covered. So you see, as we kind of close it in here, God's looking for that heart that focuses on him. He'll make it all work out. He'll do with it the giving, the charitable deeds, the time you spend. He'll do with it what he wants to do. He'll glorify himself. But remember, he's much better at rewarding people than we are. We kind of have the bookends here of doing good, right? Last week, Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? This is your purpose. You're out here to do good. You're out here to shine, to bring life to others, to show the goodness of God to others. Matthew chapter 6, the other bookend. But be careful. Understand how we are. Understand that and we sometimes get mixed up in this. It's not about them valuing everything you do. It's not about even you being able to control everything that you do when you give or you spend your time. He goes, that's not the point and that's not the purpose. Check your heart. Do it for me, and I'll take care of the rest. I'll reward you. I've got you covered. And so as you kind of put those together, you kind of have a good holistic view of us as Christians meant to be people that go out and reach out into the lives of others, that shine God's goodness. But we don't shine that light on ourselves. We don't look for people to respond to that in the way that we want them to respond. We give it to the Lord and we allow them to then experience God because we're not taking that light. We're not taking that glory. We're not grabbing that thanks and that response for ourselves. We just simply say, don't mention it. When you give this way, it changes things. It makes you happier to give. I mean, God's blessed all of your giving so much. And as the youth pastor here, I wish I could share with you example after example of all the camps we've been to. And you guys, every time we have a bake sale there, you guys give so much money and do so many good things. And man, it's amazing to see what God gives. And you guys don't even know how much, you know, the blessings he pours out on others because of what you've done and the sacrifices you make. I mean, we have people call and they just go, how much is a ticket to camp? $600? Okay, cool. Put me down for two. And it blows me away. What's amazing is that I don't have to walk all these kids up here who go to camp and bring them before you and make them value you and appreciate you for all your giving. The Lord's got that covered. I mean, I was talking to a guy this week, and he's a pilot, and he was telling me, he goes, yeah, I love when I see someone on my flights. And, you know, they don't know that I'm the pilot. And I love when I see someone on my flights and I talk to the stewardess and I bump them up to first class. And he goes, I kind of wondered, should I go tell them? Should I not tell them? Am I supposed to shine the light and, you know, be like, hey, God bless you? And it's kind of this idea that, no, the Lord's got that covered. My next question was, what's your route? And what airline, you know? But I think all of us, you know, there's all kinds of things that we could be doing every day for others. And if our eyes are set on how they're going to respond to that, if our giving is limited by what they're going to do with that or how much they're going to appreciate that or what they're going to give back to us because we did that for them, then man, we're going to get burned out really quick. We're going to get lost in this really quick. And the Lord says, look, remember who I am. Remember that I see it all. I know. I know how much time, I know how much work, I know how much effort you've put into this. Don't worry, I've got you covered. You're going to find that I abound towards you more and more. And the more good that you look to do for others, the more that you look to reflect this love, this relationship you have with me towards others, the more I'm going to take care of you. The more you're always going to have what you need to do this. But keep your eyes on me, not on their responses, and you'll enjoy giving. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that when it comes to giving, Lord, and reaching out to others, nobody outdoes you. To know that we have a Savior on the cross, to know how valued we are and loved we are by looking to him, to know, Jesus, that you paid for our sins when we couldn't earn it or deserve it. And the amount of times we haven't reciprocated that appreciation back to you is endless. Lord, help us to love like you do, to reach out to others like you do. Help us to have our eyes on you and to not value their responses and their praise more than we value you. Lord, we pray for opportunities and we pray for ways that we can change our communities, our friends' lives, our families' lives, and the lives of people around us through the giving that you would have us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.